playing with an idea for a side hustle, but just don't have the time to do it? Well, with Wix, you get the freedom to build a successful side business online while keeping your other priorities front and center. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Who does, right? Our chat-based AI can guide you through the process, creating a website that's as unique as you are, no matter what your field. From starting your part-time passion to growing it into your full-time career. Go to Wix.com to get started.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now it's a pleasure to welcome Mary Connaughton. She is the director of the CIPD Ireland, which for you and me is the institute which really represents and looks after standards for HR managers and all the work they do. Reports out today because you now have to publish the gender pay gap in your organisation. Reports from IBEC, SIPTU and across the banking sector showing a differential of pay with men paid 29% more. So under new laws, companies with more than 250 staff must report their gender pay gap. Mary, what's happening?
Hello, Ivan. How are you this morning? Well, what we're seeing is a lot of organisations having to report their gender pay gap this month. So lots of different organisations coming out with their reports. And we are certainly seeing that there's a lot of trends around some companies having high gender pay gaps and some companies having low gender pay gaps. For listeners, this is the first time companies in Ireland have had to report legally on their gender pay gap if they have over 250 employees. Now, we know from our research about a third of companies have been calculating this, not necessarily publishing it, but have been calculating and working on this for a number of years. So it's really interesting, I suppose, what's come out today is around the financial services sector, with our four main banks having an average pay gap of 19.3%. And that means that when you take all the men in the organisation and all the women, there is an overall gap of 19% in pay between men and women, and it favours men, so men are being on average paid higher. Now, in terms of the financial services sector, this shouldn't be a surprise. This reflects the trends that have been going on in the UK. And even the Irish banks who have reported in the UK have had even higher gender pay gaps in the UK than they now have in Ireland. And I suppose it reflects the nature of the work that goes on in that sector, with more men in higher paid roles and in more, you know, roles like actuaries and investments, so high paid roles, and fewer women in leadership roles. And that's pretty common where we see high gender pay gaps, is that we see that there's more men being paid in leadership roles and being paid higher.
Yeah, isn't that the key point, Mary? Because the law is quite clear. If we do the same work, whether a man or a woman, we have to be paid the same rate of pay. So therefore, what this means, if there's a 29% gap, that all the top jobs, all the big salaries are going to men because they're holding that. Why is that?
Well, it reflects, just let me add one point into this. One of the trends that doesn't come out in the current reports is that what we're seeing is that when you look at national figures, the gender pay gap starts to significantly jump for women who are over 35 with dependents. So in a sense, it's a penalty around maternity and motherhood. And although organisations don't have to report that, national figures will show that the gender pay gap is not high when women start in the workplace. So somebody going into the workplace, you find men and women are being paid the same. But what happens then is the work structure of women is more likely to change in the mid-30s when they've children than it is for men. And then the gender pay gap increases. Now, the impact of that can be that you have fewer women going for promotion, and you can have a sense of more women maybe working part-time. But what it is organisations aren't managing this well. And if organisations were better at having a good culture that encouraged those women to stay and to keep on working and to be promoted and take on leadership roles, but that is what they need to tackle to help reduce the gender pay gap.
You're absolutely right. I chaired a panel discussion at the New Ross Kennedy Summer School of female political journalists, and it was amazing. They charted the journey whereby over 50% were women coming out of college, journalists, reporters, researchers, but there today is not one female political editor, the top job. And when I was asking them, why is that? Because they're equally talented, and back in the day you'd have Geraldine Kennedy and you'd have Una Claffey and Olivia O'Leary. Why has it actually got worse? And it actually comes down to this point in their late 20s, 30s, that they leave the workforce because of parenting. And is that not the nub of this issue?
Well, that's a sector maybe where people might leave. In other sectors, people might stay, but they might work in a different way. And organisations have not been as good as reflecting that. Now, what's interesting is when you look at some of the public sector, that whole sector, we're actually seeing better gender pay gaps. And in a number of organisations, we're actually seeing where, on average, women might be being paid more. So somewhere like Irish Rail would have that practice. And in some organisations like that, they may not have men and women balanced across the organisation, but what they have is, they may not have a 50-50% number of men and women. There might be more men in the organisation, but as they've developed the organisation in recent years, they have made sure to be taking on more women and retaining those women in roles. So there are some good examples coming through, but they're more likely in the state sector than they are in the private sector.
Is there an unspoken truth at an interview? If you have a woman in her late 20s, someone's going, are you going to be going on maternity leave? In someone in their 60s, your age is an issue. Like, to what extent is there real honesty in some of the recruitment processes, promotion processes?
Organisations have had to invest a lot in tackling that, Ivan. We've seen a lot of training for interviewers, and we've seen more rigid recruitment processes, and we've seen sort of unconscious bias training creeping in around to support interviewers to be less biased. So the law is there saying that you can't do that. And what we would say to organisations is they actually need to monitor it. So look at the profile of people who are applying for your roles, break down that profile, and then have a look at who you're actually taking to interview and then who's being appointed. And if you have gaps in that process, like you have, 50% of applicants are female, but you only have 30% being shortlisted and only 10% at interview, well, then you do have a problem. But you can track that by the figures, and you can look at that and say, and we do know, employers will say, actually, no, we're not taking that panel forward. We need to see a better balance. And it's not just about women. It can be about, race or disability or things like that as well.
But my core question is, do we need a childcare overhaul to allow women the space, given the reality of many of, parenting situations falling unequally on women? And does working from home perhaps help?
Yes, the childcare system certainly needs to be looked at, but the organisation culture that women will want to stay and work in is also important, and being encouraged to go for promotion and get development, are part of that agenda. So there is a lot of work to be done in this particular area. Another point is around pay structures. Where you find tighter pay structures, you don't find the difference in pay happening so much. And I think that's one of the reasons why the state sector is probably better in this space.
Do we have figures, Mary, on the pension gender gap?
There are national figures on that, Ivan, and actually they're even more frightening than the gender pay gap. The last time I looked at them, it was something like a 23% gender pay gap in pensions, whereas the national average around the gender pay gap is 11%. So we do have a big issue. The issue is in organisations for women who are in their 50s and 60s as well. But nationally, then, we have fewer women who have pension coverage and who have, say, well-funded defined benefit or defined contribution schemes. So it's really important. The issue of auto-enrolment and getting our pension structure improved is important to help tackle that gap.
Some interesting texts on this topic. Keep them coming. 53106. The gender pay gap is really about parenting and the burden of that on women, not men. Another says, our men don't take paternity or parental leave, perhaps for cultural or financial reasons, but the Scandinavian countries have made it the norm we must follow. Well, isn't that true, Mary? That, like, so if you're paying a big mortgage and the dad is on a big salary, do we have figures on the uptake of paternity leave by guys?
Yes, there are some figures coming through, and I'm afraid I don't have them off the top of my head. But you're right, there are more.
Well, anecdotally, that's certainly the case. Yeah. Okay, Ivan. Surely the mandatory reporting will highlight this and it'll help shift things in the right direction. Well, what isn't counted doesn't matter. I agree with that. Hi, Ivan. If females have a lack of continuity in their work experience, naturally they're less experienced when it comes to promotion. Quotas don't magic up missing experience, unfortunately, says John. What about quotas?
At some point, there may be an argument for quotas, certainly at senior levels, making sure that there are more females at on boards and in senior management teams. Is important, and by putting structures in place in Ireland to actually push that forward, it has made a difference. So quotas do matter, and it may be that we need to do this. I think what's this current round of reporting is bringing transparency to this, because a lot of organisations, like employees in organisations, didn't know. And now what we are actually doing is we're giving employees more insight into what's going on in their own organisation. And they will be pushing their employers to start to tackle that, because they don't like to hear, they'll actually, I work in an organisation where on average men are paid more than women, and what are you doing about it? But it'll also become a tool for people applying for work. So if I'm looking at organisations now, I can go through the gender pay gap and say, oh, why does that company have much higher gender pay gap than another? And you might find women are more attracted, and men will be more attracted to those where there's a better level of equality and a proper inclusive culture.
Okay.
So this act can actually lead to change.
Now, finally, let's look at the flip side of this. You're a HR manager. Two texts that give the other side of the story. Unfortunately, for every one female worker going on maternity leave, you'd need two to three to actually cover. Huge problem. How can a business sustain that? And you're not considering how much of a problem an SME can have if someone in a key role takes a year off from maternity leave. That is the other side of the coin, is it?
It is. There are certainly issues in terms of filling space, and in a tight labour market, it's more difficult. And I suppose during COVID and even coming out of the economic crisis, things like successions planning or who might fill a future gap weren't so on the agenda. But I think now with the tighter labour market and this sort of information coming through, organisations need to get better at saying, well, if we were to lose a person, how could we replace them? Who are we upskilling to actually make them ready to take on a role like that? So that you might have somebody internally you can promote, and then you can actually recruit in further down the organisation. It is resource heavy, absolutely, and but we are finding that, you know, organisations are working through that and coping with it. And it's when then women come back from maternity leave, how do we support them to actually stay delivering good jobs? It's not all about years of experience. You know, you could have 3 great years doing a role and, you know, comparison to somebody who might do the same role for 7 or 8 years and not learn a lot more. So it's more about, you know, skills and capability that companies need to be moving on and not measuring it by experience.
Okay, we're a long way from gender parity in the workplace. Mary Connaughton, Director of CIPD Ireland, thank you for those insights.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Playing with an idea for a side hustle, but just don't have the time to do it? Well, with Wix, you get the freedom to build a successful side business online while keeping your other priorities front and center. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Who does, right? Our chat-based AI can guide you through the process, creating a website that's as unique as you are, no matter what your field. From starting your part-time passion to growing it into your full-time career. Go to Wix.com to get started.